Nityam darshana kankshina
Sri Bhagavan Vacha
Gita is completely spiritual and full of bliss and eternality. or similar Vedic scriptures, Krishna is a problem. For one using a material process, Krishna is considered to be a great historical personality and very learned philosopher, but he is an ordinary man. And even though he was so powerful that he had to accept a material, and even though he was so powerful, he had to accept a material body. Ultimately, they think that the absolute truth is impersonal. Therefore, they think that from his impersonal feature, he assumed a personal feature attached to material nature. This is a materialistic calculation of the Supreme Lord. Another calculation is speculative. Those who are in search of knowledge also speculate on Krishna and consider him to be less important than the universal form of the Supreme. Thus, some think that the universal form of Krishna, which was manifested to Arjuna, is more important than his impersonal, than his personal form. According to them, the personal form of the Supreme is something imaginary. They believe that in the ultimate issue, the absolute truth is not a person. But the transcendental process is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, to hear about Krishna from authorities. That is the actual Vedic process. And those who are actually in the Vedic line hear about Krishna from authority. And by repeated hearing about him, Krishna becomes dear. As we have several times discussed, Krishna is covered by his yoga maya potency. He is not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Only by one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. The one who is a surrendered soul, the absolute truth, can actually be understood. The transcendentalist, by continuous Krishna consciousness and by devotional service to Krishna, can have his spiritual eyes open and can see Krishna by revelation. Such a revelation is not possible even for the demigods. Therefore, it is difficult even for the demigods to understand Krishna, and the advanced demigods are always in hope of seeing Krishna in his two-handed form. The conclusion is that although to see the universal form of Krishna is very, very difficult and not possible for anyone and everyone, it is still more difficult to understand his personal form, Shyamasundara. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear." This is in the chapter of the universal form, just after Krishna revealed the universal form. Arjuna asked Krishna to reveal the universal form. So, and Prabhupada explained that it wasn't for him that he wanted to see the universal form. He's a pure devotee. He wants to see the personal form of Krishna. But Arjuna asked Krishna to see the universal form so that people in the future could know that Krishna, when he spoke the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and displayed his universal form, well, then he must be God, because who can display the universal form in which Arjuna saw everything in one place? Everything means everything. All the universes, all contained within the form of Krishna. And generally speaking, people are very impressed and think of God in that way. They were saying that the saying among the Christians that if you even looked upon the face of God once, you would die. So because they have a concept that God is so awesome and fearful that if you saw his face, you'd just die. So, and they also think that he doesn't have a face, that he's not a person. It's very confused. It's very confused ideas they have. There is some feeling of awe and reverence. The awe and reverence is prevalent in religion throughout the world. The people, when they think of God, they think, he creates everything. He creates the sun and the moon and all the planets and the whole universe, many universes, millions of universes. So he must be really big and really fearsome. You have to be, and that's true. It's better to, that is one way of worshiping God, is in awe and reverence. Like Arjuna, when he saw Krishna and he saw the universal form that Krishna revealed, he was scared. And he saw everything. He saw all the soldiers on the battlefield, soldiers like Bhishma and Bhima and Drona and Dronacharya and all the Kauravas and all these big, powerful people. They were rushing into the mouths of Krishna and being smashed by his teeth. And they weren't like trying to avoid it. They were rushing into it. There's no possibility of avoiding our fate. We rush towards our fate, maybe not so-called willingly, but we have no choice because of the force of the material energy, the force of time. Like if you get caught in the ocean, in an undertow, you get caught by the waves in the ocean. Waves of the ocean are so powerful that you can't help it. You will go where the ocean takes you. One time we went to my cousins, and they live in Mississippi. We went to the Mississippi River and went swimming with them. This was when I was young, and I could swim pretty well. But I got a little far from shore, and I started to get dragged down the river. I made it back, obviously, because I'm here. But you get caught in the river, and or the ocean, and you can't help it. So Krishna, Arjuna saw all the soldiers rushing into the blazing mouths of Krishna, and everyone being destroyed, and like moths rushing into a flame. And he said, all this is rightly done. It's rightly done because Krishna is God. And whatever he does is rightly done. Everything is rightly done. As we look around the material world, we see that it's such a disturbed place. So many horrible things are going on. Things that people do to each other, and things that the material energy does to people and nations. And just horrible, terrible, painful things. And we think, oh, there must be some problem here. What's wrong? There must be something wrong. But it's not wrong. It's Krishna. It's the arrangement of God. And everything is rightly now. People always say that he didn't deserve that. Like if something bad happened. He didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve that. That shouldn't have happened to them. But we do deserve it. Whatever we get, we deserve. If it didn't come to the material world, we wouldn't have to worry about getting cancer or getting hit by a car or drowning in the ocean. We would be happy all the time in the spiritual world. But whatever we get, the material world, that's an argument that the so-called arguments against intelligent design use is that, well, if God is so intelligent, if this intelligent designer is so intelligent, then why did he design everything in such a way that everything breaks down, everything falls apart, there's so many problems with everything? He's supposed to be so intelligent. God is the people who argue, the scientists who argue against the idea of intelligent design. They say that one of their arguments is, well, if God is so intelligent and he designed everything, then why are there so many problems with everything? Why do bodies get cancer? Why do they get old? Why do they break down? Why are there so many difficulties in this world? If God is so intelligent, why didn't he make everything perfect? That's one of their arguments. But the point is that God, that Krishna, he designed the material world on purpose to be faulty. He designed it in such a way that everyone has to have so much difficulty here. And he declares it himself in the Bhagavad Gita that this material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Dukkha means misery, ashashvatam means temporary. So Krishna, this material world is certified to be temporary and full of misery. And it's like if you get a car, you buy a brand new car, and then you open the owner's manual, and on page one it says that this car, the engine is guaranteed to get blown after 20,000 miles. And the transmission is designed in such a way that it will fall out after 20,000 miles. It's like you would think, well, that's kind of strange. But there it is, right in the book, in black and white. It says right there, it's going to fall apart. So Krishna does that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says this material world is certified to be a temporary and full of misery. It's right there in the instruction manual. So people, so Arjuna saw the universal form that Krishna revealed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but he was frightened by it. And he said, I'm losing my equilibrium, I can't stand. Please take away this vision of the universal form. And so Krishna then it was too disturbing, it was more than he could handle. People want to see God in his most powerful form, universal form. They want to know what infinity is, or know what omniscience is. But these things, God is too big. If we can't see or understand anything about God in full, because our brains are just too small. If we try to take in the universal form of God, like Arjuna, when he saw the universal form, he couldn't take it, he couldn't handle it. He told Krishna, I can't look at this, take it away. So Krishna, then he appeared before Arjuna in his forearm form of Narayan, and then he appeared to Arjuna in his two-arm form as Krishna his friend. And then he says this verse, this form that you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear. there's that story in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, when Krishna played his flute in the forest and all the gopis ran out in the middle of the night. They left their husbands, they left their father, they left babies, they left everything to run out to the forest to meet Krishna. And then Krishna, he was dancing with them for a while, and then he understood the minds of the gopis, that the gopis were becoming a little proud, to thinking that we are the most fortunate women in the universe. Krishna is dancing with us. So Prabhupada said they became a little proud, and when Krishna saw that they were becoming proud, he disappeared from their company. He left. And then they were disturbed. They went searching everywhere for Krishna. And then Krishna, he knew that they were looking for him. So he played a little trick on them. He appeared before them as Lord Narayan, in his forearm form of Lord Narayan. And it was Krishna, but he was tricking them. So when he appeared before them in his forearm form of Lord Narayan, the gopis saw Lord Narayan, and they said, "Oh, Lord Narayan, have you seen Krishna anywhere?" So it's like, so Prabhupada explains that the gopis didn't care that Krishna was God, because they saw God. They saw Lord Narayan there, and who they knew, "Oh, Lord Narayan is God." So they saw Lord Narayan there, and they didn't care if he was God. So they said, "Well, oh God, have you seen Krishna?" So that it just, so Krishna explains in this verse that this form of mind they're now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear. So Prabhupada says this is the most confidential form of Krishna. Krishna doesn't reveal his two-armed form playing the flute with Srimati Radharani. He doesn't reveal it very much. Or he doesn't reveal it. It's the most intimate understanding, confidential understanding of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada uses the word confidential often in referring to this knowledge. In fact, one of the chapters in the Bhagavad Gita is the most confidential knowledge. And the definition that Prabhupada gives of confidential is that he gives an example. It says, like, if a person has pictures of his wife and children in his wallet or on his phone, and he just shows their pictures to an acquaintance of his. He's an acquaintance, but he's not really a friend, just someone he knows. So if he shows the pictures to that acquaintance, the person will be like, "Oh, they look very nice, oh, very nice." But he doesn't really care. You know, it's just pictures of some guy's kid and wife. But he'll be polite. Yeah, very nice. Nice wife, nice children. But if he shows the pictures to a really close friend of his, and then who knows him really well, knows his family really well, then that person will be really interested and say, oh, your wife, oh, she looks very beautiful. Your children, how are they doing? Oh, look how much she's grown. I just saw her couple months ago, look how big she's gotten in 2 months. They'll be interested. So that's the definition that Prabhupada gave of confidential. The Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita, and it's available all over the world. The Bhagavad Gita is available all over the world for 5,000 years since he spoke it. And before that, of course, throughout time. Bhagavad Gita is available, and it reveals the highest truth, the truth of how to go back to Godhead, about Krishna and his two-armed form of Govinda, playing his flute, and it reveals everything about spiritual life that is necessary for us to go back home. But most people aren't interested. Most people don't care. And which is actually strange. It's like if Bill Gates made an announcement in the newspaper or on social media that tomorrow you come to my house, anybody who comes to my house, I'll give them $1 million. So the next morning, you know, outside of his house, there'll be a long, long line of people. Because they know Bill Gates gave a lot of money, he could give $1 million to a lot of people. So there'll be a long line of people. So the Krishna says so many things in the Bhagavad Gita. I can free you from the cycle of birth, old age, disease, and death. And I can take you home, back to Godhead, where you'll never get sick. There's no birth, old age. You'll be happy eternally in my association, in Krishna's association, and you'll be blissful eternally. And that's a lot better than getting $1 million. $1 million, you'll have it for a little while, and it'll be gone. But if you go back to Vaikuntha, back to Krishna Loka, then you never have to worry about anything ever again. And the spiritual ecstasy eternal. So Krishna said, you can have that. Right here in the Bhagavad Gita, because you can have it. Anybody who wants it, you can come. But how many, is there a long line of people up there? No, there's not. So that, isn't that a little strange? You may think, well, yeah, that is a little strange. Why aren't there people beating down the doors to come and see Krishna and chant Hare Krishna? Well, it's very simple. Because it's actually very simple. It's the highest truth, it's the highest bliss, the highest reality. But in order to get that highest bliss reality, you have to actually sacrifice. You have to surrender to Krishna. And Bill Gates said, I'll give you $1 million. Or just come and I'll give it to you, that's one thing. But if he says, I'll give you $1 million, but you have to work for me for the next 20 years in a coal mine, then maybe you won't do it for the next 2 years. So Krishna gives the highest thing, but he requires that we sacrifice, that we surrender to him. And then he's very perfectly willing to reveal himself to us, but we have to show him that we're sincere, that we really want it. And we do that by serving him in disciplined succession, following the spiritual master, I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Remember that definition of confidential. Mm-hmm. It's available, but only a few people want it.
Yeah, I was wondering what that means specifically. It's like this is very confidential. Yeah. But then you're on every corner. So it's like, well, from 70, yeah. Four around every corner, maybe not too much.
Many of them have read the Bhagavad Gita, but even most people who read the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said that most people who read the Bhagavad Gita, they think that Krishna is asking too much. Prabhupada, that's how they think.
Krishna asked too much,
you know.
But didn't Jesus
answer
the same?
They see the same.
Because I feel that if people say that from this book, people know that Krishna asked so much, and that's because they don't know how great Krishna is. They don't know Krishna is God. They don't know everything. So they all just say, book, oh, Krishna asked so much. No. They don't know how great Krishna is.
Yeah.
They don't know Krishna. Okay. But they take Krishna as ordinary person, ordinary people.
Yeah.
They don't take him as a god. That's I think that's it.
Yeah. That's part of it. And even so, even if people have some idea, it's when they have some idea that Krishna is God, then that's when it becomes really scary. Because Krishna is God, he wants me to do this, he wants me to do that. I better run away, I better get out of here. Because, there's most people, they just think of Krishna. If Krishna did exist, most people think Krishna, many people think Krishna is a mythological person. But even people who think that Krishna did exist, they think, well, maybe he was a powerful person, maybe very intelligent, very powerful. But an ordinary person, after all. But some people, they have an idea that that Krishna is God, but then that's even more reason to think that for them to run away from Krishna. Because after all, that's why we run from the spiritual world in the first place. Because in the spiritual world, we know that Krishna is God, and we know that everyone is serving Krishna with love and devotion, everyone is offering everything to Krishna, and the jiva soul in the spiritual world develops an envious mentality towards Krishna, and they think, Prabhupada said, they develop a mentality that everyone's serving Krishna. I'm as good as Krishna, why shouldn't everyone be serving me? So it's not surprising that we run away from Krishna in this world, because that's why we're here in the first place, from running away from Krishna. We definitely did know that we
saw. But we don't know
Okay.